George Jessel and Norma Talmadge say goodbye to Chicago.
Well, Norma, dear, now that our personal appearance tour is over, I want to thank you very much for making the tour with me. Because everybody knows you didn't have to do it. I didn't have to do it either, but no use of eating my old newspaper notices, you know what I mean?
Well, George, I was very happy to make this tour with you. In fact, I consider it an honor to be with you. You who have entertained such people as Stonewall Jackson, General Grant, Pocahontas...
I know. Honey, I don't mind you kidding me, as long as you've had a good time.
Well, that's just it. I didn't have a good time. Before we left California, you promised to show me the country and take me places. And the only places you took me to were the theaters. And the only things you showed me were the dressing rooms. Dressing rooms backed up against alleys. Dressing rooms with and without windows. Dressing rooms with two kinds of cold water. No faucets.
All right, all right, all right, dear. But you must admit, honey, that the theaters were nice.
Nice. All I heard every half hour was, you're on in 15 minutes. And one theater was so broken down, they didn't have stagehands. So the mice carried my trunks in and out.
Well, honey, now that the trip is over, I'm going to make up for it. I'm really going to take you out and paint this town red.
I'll bet it'll be a thin coat once over.
Now, listen. You're going to be surprised or I tell you when I'm going to take you.
Oh, George, let's not play any guessing games. Tell me and have it over with.
Well, honey, I'm taking you to the art museum.
The art museum?
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited. I wonder what I should wear. If it's all the same to you, I'd rather go to the art museum tomorrow.
No, we haven't much time tomorrow, honey. We're leaving at 1 o'clock. And besides, there's a charge. Tomorrow we'd have to pay. You see what I mean?
You mean to say you're going to leave Chicago without showing me the lake?
Oh, no, no. That I can point out to you from the train. Don't worry about that.
All right. Let's go to the art museum. Anything would be better than 3 months in the theater, backed up against alleys, with dressing rooms without windows, hearing them yell, you're on in 15 minutes.
That's the spirit, honey. Just relax and we'll have a good time. Now, you go get dressed and I'll call up my uncle.
Oh, George, you're not going to take your uncle along, are you?
I promise him. What can I do, Norma? It's my mother's brother, our own flesh and blood, you know.
Well, I thought you and I could at least be alone in the art museum.
Well, if the statues can be there, why can't my uncle?
First, because the statues belong there. And the second thing, you can depend on the statues keeping quiet, not asking dopey questions.
Don't forget, honey, when I was a little kid, my uncle was very good to me once he bought me a little apple on a stick.
Mm. So on account of that one little apple, you've been supporting him for 27 years.
Well, I can't help it. Honey, I'm sentimental. If I don't give him, you know what he'll do. He'll ask strangers, you know? Of course, the people on the street says I didn't eat for 4 days, just as my nephew. You know who he is. And don't forget, he was a very good businessman in the old days. Used to travel around selling petticoats. You remember what a good business he had? Now, come on, dear. I told little Josephine Starr to meet us in front of the place, too, and she's probably waiting. So let's go. Well, here we are, dear. There's Uncle and there's little Josephine. Hello, Uncle.
What place is this, George?
This is the art museum, Uncle.
I'm living in Chicago nearly 30 years now, and I never heard from it. Can you get a sandwich in there?
What sandwich? That's an art museum, Uncle. There's nothing but artistic things in there.
Yeah, well, if you can show me anything more artistic than a salmon on rye when you're hungry, I'd like to see it.
Uncle, will you please forget about eating now?
All of a sudden, there's a law against a man being hungry.
There's little Josephine over there. Poor kid, I bet you've been waiting a long time.
Josephine, oh, Josephine.
Oh, hello, everybody.
Have you been waiting long, child?
Not very long, Miss Talmadge.
Josephine, this is my uncle.
How do you do, sir?
So you're little Josephine Moon, imagine.
Not moon, Uncle. Star, star.
Star, moon, what's the difference? It all comes under the same heading. Josephine, I heard you many times on my nephew's program. Imagine a child like you, 9 years old, leading an orchestra. We're living in a wonderful age.
Uncle, she doesn't lead the orchestra, she sings.
Doesn't make any difference. She's very good. Look at Norma standing over there by herself like a regular stranger.
Well, I'm waiting. If we're going in, let's go. If we're not... Waiting.
All right, okay, dear. Come on, Uncle. Come on, Josephine.
Look, Miss Talmadge, isn't that a funny-looking statue?
Quiet, Josephine. That's the doorman. Uncle, take off your hat.
I can't. I got a sandwich in it.
Now, see that big statue there, Josephine? That's Hercules. He denotes strength.
My, how big he is. Just look at his muscles. Gee, aren't his arms strong?
Josephine, you mustn't mention Armstrong here. This is Barney Ross's hometown.
What's this statue over here, Miss Talmadge?
That's Diogenes, his lantern, looking for honesty and truth.
He seems to be looking right at me, too.
Yes, and if he keeps on looking at you long enough, I'll bet his lantern will go out.
Oh, is that so?
Say, George.
Yeah?
Who is this guy over here?
Now, is that a nice way to talk about a great statue?
It's all right. He didn't hear me.
Now, watch your language in here, Uncle, please.
All of a sudden, there's a law against a man talking.
Oh, be still now. Now, this is Socrates, the great Greek philosopher. Socrates, I salute you. You were the greatest of all the Greeks, and you will always be remembered.
You said it, sport.
And there's Plato. Do you know who that was?
Sure, everybody knows Plato. The first blue Plato lunch was 35 cents.
All right, all right.
Oh, look at this statue, Miss Talmadge. It's broke.
No, it isn't broken, child. That's a statue of Venus of Milo, the goddess of love. She was the most perfect specimen of womanhood the world ever knew.
Then why hasn't she got any arms?
I'll tell you why, Josephine. When she was a little girl like you, she used to bite her fingernails. So let that be a lesson to you.
Uncle, will you please keep quiet?
What does this represent, Uncle?
Let's see. It says down here on the sign, rodent stinker.
Uncle, will you please watch your language in here? Pronounce those words correctly.
For goodness sakes, a person can't talk around you anymore. You certainly changed since you've been reading books. All of a sudden, you became a regular Mrs. Astor's horse.
I told you not to bring him in here.
What can I do? It's my mother's brother, our own flesh and blood. No.
What's that over there, Josephine?
Yeah, see that bust over there?
What bust?
I didn't hear anything.
Uncle, stop that, will you please?
Oh, Mr. Gessel, Miss Talmadge, look at that. A horse with a man's head.
Yes, madam. You'll find that in Greek mythology. It's called Centaur. Supposed to be a race, half man and half horse, dwelling in the mountains of Thessaly.
Gee, I wish we had that race today, half man and half horse. You get a lot of hot tips around here.
George, is that the way to talk in an act?
All right, Uncle.
Oh, say, George.
Yes.
Here's a picture I saw a few times already, and I could never figure it out.
Now, what picture are you referring to?
This one here, with the girl on the back porch and the fella in the tights singing to her with a guitar.
Uncle, that happens to be a painting of Romeo and Juliet, and it's not a back porch, that's a balcony.
And why is she the only one in the balcony?
Because there, since radio, nobody goes in the balcony anymore.
What does Romeo and Juliet represent?
Romeo and Juliet, my child, is one of the world's greatest love stories. It's a story of two households, the Montagues and the Capulets. They were bitter enemies, so the parents of Juliet made a promise to marry someone else. Then she and Romeo took poison and died together, never to be parted.
Would you believe it? I know a case like that right here in Chicago. A friend of mine who has a grocery store is in love with a girl. But the girl's parents don't like him because he limps. That shows you how life goes.
And that's like Romeo and Juliet, Uncle?
No, they got different names.
Oh, be still, will you?
Romeo and Juliet must be a beautiful story.
Yes, it is, and a very sad one. I always remember the epilogue. A blooming peace this morning with it brings. The sun for sorrow will not show his head. Go hence to have more talk of these sad things. Some shall be pardoned and some punished. For never was there a story of more woe than this of Juliet and her Romeo.
I know an aria from the opera of Romeo and Juliet.
Well, sing it, honey face.
No, no.
Josephine. And Norma, have you enjoyed yourself, dear?
Well, if this is all you're going to show me after 3 months in theaters, backed up against alleys, in dressing rooms, without windows, on every 15
all
minutes...
All right, now, honey, I've really got a surprise for you. Follow me, everybody. Taxi, take us to a nightclub.
Oh, yeah, let's go to a cabaret.
Yes, we're going to go to the Chez Frolic's Palais de Manana. Honey, this is the money. No other cover charge. I just want to see what a good little actress you are, dear. All right, come on. Let's go in.
Table for four?
I don't think so. A table for two, ringside table. Yeah, two will be all right. The child can sit on Miss Talmadge's lap. My uncle can sit on the floor, because he'll be under the table in a few minutes anyway.
Yes, sir.
Just a moment. I asked you for ringside, and look where you put me.
Well, that's ringside. Any minute, that couple at the next table will start fighting.
Everybody has funny lines to say except me in this thing.
The show is going to start.
I see.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we present the famous swinging sinkers, the Four Notes.
If a body needs a body coming through the rack, if a body kills a body, need a body cry. That's the way we used to sing. The song went sweet and small, but now we do it with a swing like dee-wee-wee-wee-wee-doo. If a body needs a body, come through the ride. If a body kills a body, need a body cry. Every lassie has a laddie, name they say, hey, I. Yet all the lassies smile on me when they come to the ride.
If a body needs a body, come and spread the sound. If a body needs a body, feed a body from.
Oh, every lassie,
hey, I. Yet all the lassies smile on me when
coming through the ride. If a body needs a body, come through the ride. I said that if a body gets a body, every lassie has her laddie, then they say, hey, I. All the lassies smile on me when come through the ride. Every lassie has her laddie, then they say, I. Oh, when they say they're coming through the ride.
Hey. You remember me, Jessel? I used to be a bellboy and...
Go away, will you please, John?
But I own this place now.
Oh, well, how are you? Well, of course.
How do you like that? Used to be a bellboy. Well, yeah. Of course. And your name is...
I, Paddock.
Well, of course. Mr. Paddock, this is Miss Talmadge, Josephine Starr, and my uncle.
You smoke, Mr. Paddock?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Have you got an extra cigar on you?
That's nice. Mr. Paddock, tell me, why are you holding your arm so stiff?
Well, there's always certain people come in here on the cuff. So I've had my sleeve starched right up to the shoulder. Present company accepted, of course.
That's what you think.
Honey, this is between Mr. Paddock and myself.
Well, I'm beginning to think I had a better time in the theater, stacked up against Allie's with dress.
All right, honey, that's history.
Yes, and it won't repeat itself.
Oh, Mr. Jessel, there's a very good friend of yours in the show here, America's Greatest Mimic. We call him Mr. Everybody, Al Burney.
I should say I do know young Al Burney. Say, send him over, will you?
Hello, Georgie.
Well. Al, this is Miss Talmadge. It's Josephine Starr and my uncle.
Say, Burney, do you smoke?
All right, Uncle, never mind. Besides, it's Al Burney and not Ben. He won't have a cigar.
All of a sudden, there's a law against a person smoking.
I hear you're going back to Hollywood tomorrow, George. I guess you missed it, haven't you?
I should say so, because everybody's been so sweet to me out there.
Well, I know one fellow thinks the world of you, Jack Benny.
Jack Benny, well, I should say. That's my pal, great fella, Jack. I was a guest on his program before I left Hollywood in April. I haven't heard from him since I left, but I'm sure that if he gets it, he'll send it.
Well, if you're lonesome for your pal Jack Benny, maybe this will cheer you up.
Hello again. This is Jack Benny, folks. Remember? Gee, I don't know. Everything happens to me. I was trying to park my car outside, and a cute little kid about 9 years old walked up to me and said, "Hey, mister, you want me to watch your car? Do you want me to cut up your tires?"
Oh, that was wonderful, Mr. Burney.
Yes. It's nothing, honey. You should see Norma. He does imitations of the great. He did one of Eddie Cantor one night. It was so true to life, I could have punched him in the nose.
But I happen to know that you and Eddie think the world of each other.
Yes, we do, but it's a small world, isn't it, sir?
I know Edward G. Robinson likes you, because last time I was there, I was out to see him, and we talked about you.
Oh, were you out this home where he has all those beautiful paintings?
No, I went out to the studio where he's making a picture, and I'll never forget when I walked on the set, he was saying, "Say, wait a minute, I'm Edward G. Robinson. Charles Butterworth couldn't kill that guy because I did. For years, I've been known to have the best farm around Hollywood. When this guy came along, he organized my hens so that now they're on strike and won't work for chicken feed. Little Caesar don't like that. Now, so I came over here and plugged him. Yeah.
That was swell, Al. Tell me, how long have you been here?
I just opened here this week, George. I'm also at the Palace Theater, and I expect to go to England shortly.
Well, you've got quite a route. Well, before you go to England, I want to give you a letter to a very good friend of mine over there, one of the greatest actors in the world, Charles Laughton.
I know him, George.
You do?
Oh, Laughton is wonderful. I'll never forget him in that picture, Mutiny on the Bounty. In that scene where he, as Captain Bligh, talks to Mr. Christian.
I remember that scene. He said, "Mr. Christian, come here. Mr. Christian, come here." I'm not the most patient man in the world, but Christian, ship's coming out. We're at sea under the Articles of War. Perhaps you're unaware, the Articles of War vested by the power of judge and jury to administering punishment for you. During the recent heavy weather, I've had the opportunity of watching his work for the last. I find you don't know what's from canvas and you're not willing to learn. But I'll make you learn. I'll flog every one of you and put you on half rations for the remainder of the voyage. Midshipman Roger Byam, step forward, please. Mr. Byam. Being a midshipman, you found it necessary to criticize my action, the flogging of a certain seaman. Bear in mind, Mr. Byam, discipline's the thing. A captain's a captain, a seaman, and a midshipman, the lowest form of animal life. Ship's company, dismissed! Thank you. Now, how about a little jolting, Georgie?
No, thanks. No jolting. I've been doing it myself for 15 years.
Everything is on the house, George. Come on, how about doing something here, huh?
You mean the check is free?
And how?
Well, under those conditions, of course.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a friend of mine here, Georgie Jessel.
Well, well. Thank you, folks. Thank you, Uncle. Put my drink down. Anyway, folks, I happened to be playing here this week, so I thought I'd come over and relax a little. I came down here, and everybody's having a great time. Why not? With dancing to music furnished by our own Tommy Tucker. For the benefit of those who haven't seen Tommy, I'd like to describe him to you. He's about 5 feet tall. Looks like a best pocket edition of Robert Montgomery. Has a permanent smile, straight hair. And incidentally, folks, if you'll send Tommy a 3-cent stamp, he'll send you a picture of himself to put on the piano. If you send him 2 3-cent stamps, he'll come and sit on the piano himself. All I can say about Tommy Tucker is... he couldn't be cuter, plus that he couldn't be smarter. I'll say he couldn't be nicer, couldn't be sweeter, couldn't be better, couldn't be smoother, couldn't be cuter, Tommy, than you are. And good luck, Tommy, when you get to Jefferson Beach, Detroit. And now, folks, not that I want to keep boosting my own program, but let's drink a toast to little Josephine Starr, like my grandmother might have done. By mere abyss to shame, this tired is East and Clane, and yet mine kin decides to schlop again. All right. Go on. Go ahead, Norma. Get up and say a few words.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, all I've seen for 3 months is theaters backed up against alleys with dressing rooms.
Listen, Norma. Don't talk, just let me look at you. Don't talk, don't break the spell. You're so sweet, so terribly sweet, so much a part of me. See a lovely face that I love so well. Your smile, such an enchanting smile, it's made my whole world right. Oh, darling, stand there all alone for a moment, young and gay and bright. Don't talk, just let me look at you. Just let me look at you, sweetheart,
Back home? Oh, you're still in the mountains, I see. Well, how's Anna?
Her fella is sick in bed with the doctor. Well, what is it? Something he ate, huh? Oh, he must have tomaine. He didn't? He had chow mein. I see. Well, wait a minute. Hold a wire a minute, Mom. There's somebody at the door. I'll be right back. For just a second. I'll be right back.
Say, Bernie. Al, talk to my mother a minute. She'll think it's me anyway. Go ahead.
Say, Mom, while I think of it, when I was in the art museum today, it reminded me of an original Rubens I saw in the art shop yesterday, and I'm going to send it to you. A Rubens. No, not Rubens, the delicatessen man. Rubens, the artist. He's a painter. I should ask him how much you'll charge to paint the kitchen.
Thanks, Al. Thanks. Hello, Mom. No, that wasn't me. That was Al Burney. It doesn't make any difference who it was. You just want to get the check Wednesday. I see. I what? I forgot something. What did I forget? It's Father's Day today. Well, I'm glad you reminded me, Mom, because I cut a sweet thing out of the paper today from the personal column. It carries such a lovely note of sentiment for Father's Day. It says, if Joe Blue, who left his wife and baby 20 years ago, will please come home, his baby will knock the stuffing out of him. Good night, Mom. Good night, everybody.
On this program were the selection Just Let Me Look At You and You Couldn't Be Cuter from The Joy of Living. The material for these programs is written by Sam Carlton and George Jessel. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.